Welcome to this edition of ATC, an occasional series from Autopilot Technologies, where we discuss the intersection of a company's sales teams, company's customers and prospects, and the company's CRM system designed to hold it all together. I'm your host, Steve Shaw, Chief Marketing Officer here at Autopilot Technologies. And on this episode, I'm both excited and proud to have Jim Norod, Chairman of the Board of Directors for Autopilot Technologies. And in his day job, Jim's the CEO of Precision Hawk. So welcome, Jim.
Thank you, Steve. It's good to be here with you.
Well, I appreciate you making the time. I think you've got a unique position as the chairman here at Autopilot Technologies. So, you know, how'd you get into that, and how do you feel about Autopilot?
Well, I've known the CEO for several years. I've known some of the investors for more than several years. So when one of the key investors came to me and asked if I would like to be involved in Autopilot, I jumped at the chance to do that. I am the executive chairman of the company and happy to be here. I'm very excited about this company and where it's going, and so happy to help in any way.
Great. Great. Well, you know, obviously Autopilot is focused really on sales and helping sales teams automate. So, you know, you must have a history in sales. I'm sure you've had a background there. Tell me a little about how your experience with sales and selling has been.
Oh, of course. I've had a very lengthy amount of time in sales from a historic standpoint. And a lot of people think that when I say that, I've spent 35 years as a salesman or a sales manager. That's not true, but what is true is that in every job I've had, sales is critically important. And so I did start my career out in IBM as a rookie salesperson, and then eventually advanced to a sales executive that ran or was responsible for the General Motors account, which back in that day, General Motors was the largest customer that IBM had. And I was responsible for a fairly large group of people. Actually, there was over 100 people assigned to support, sell and support General Motors. And so that was, as I said, with IBM Corporation. So that was my real sales job, where I learned a great deal. IBM was a great company to work for. So very specific salesperson, and then I became a sales executive managing, as I said, the General Motors account. But having said that, my sales career continued. I left IBM and I went to a CAD-CAM company in Denver, Colorado called Autotrol Technology, and I was a vice president of sales. So I went from the biggest company in the world to what I thought was the smallest. And I was the VP of sales, as I mentioned, and I had sales executives and salespeople working for me, probably, you know, 20, 25 people. But the point I want to make is, as I move my career forward and I look back, I've run as a CEO, I've run really 9 different companies in my career. And in every case, all the sales work that I did allowed me to be a better CEO of these companies, because CEOs must be great salespeople, because you're selling externally to investors, you're selling to customers, and of course you're selling to your team, your own team. So the skills that I learned as a salesperson and as a sales manager just made me a better CEO. And so I always say when I start, take over a new company and go to my first employee meeting, I ask the people in the audience, how many people of you are salespeople? And I get a few hands that go up, and I keep asking the question, how many of you are salespeople? And then a few more go up until I'll keep asking until they all put their hands up. And the reason I do that is to say all of us have sales responsibilities in our companies. We have to sell concepts, sell thoughts, and so we are all salespeople in this company. And so it's a skill that you learn. And again, it's not just as a sales executive or a salesperson. It's really the selling, as I said, internally and externally in many different ways. So my history is over 35 years being in sales, not all as a salesperson, but certainly the executive jobs I've held in those times, I've had to be a salesperson as well.
I completely agree, and it's something that I tell peers all the time, and I certainly try to instill in my kids that you've always got to be selling. You got to be selling yourself. You got to be selling ideas and concepts, and you're always trying to get people on your side. And it is a universal skill, and certainly it's crucial for organizations as well.
And I'm glad you said families because that's the other thing that we want to remember. You're selling your spouse to do something. I want to take this trip to wherever, and you're selling your kids to do their homework and the benefits of doing their homework. And you're selling in your family just as much
Absolutely.
as we sell externally in our jobs. So I'm glad you
Absolutely.
brought that up.
Absolutely. Well, I think, with your, like you said, you've run a bunch of companies. You have a long history as a CEO and a successful one at that. And so I think it puts you in a unique position to kind of look, I don't want to say back or down at the sales, the defined sales function, but what are some things that really frustrate you about that part of an organization and things you'd like to see change or how things have changed in your experience as a CEO?
Well, some things change a great deal, other things don't. Not just as a CEO, but as a sales executive, I think the frustrating thing that I look back and I think about is how we can, as an organization, be more accurate and be able to communicate this accuracy to our bosses. Because as a CEO, I have bosses. My bosses are my investors, my board of directors. Salespeople have bosses, they're sales managers. So all of us have a boss. So we do. And I think what the frustrating part is for my team to be accurate in forecasting is a very broad word, but being accurate in what you're trying to talk to your management team, talk to your executives about what the opportunities are, what we're going to do. And as I said, this is not just a sales manager issue or a salesperson issue, it's a CEO issue because I have to be accurate to my bosses. The sales managers have to be accurate to the CEO. The salespeople have to be accurate to their sales bosses. And so being accurate, I think, is really, really important because we make decisions based on that accuracy. And I don't care if it's a private company or if it's a public company. You see all the time where CEOs have to go on, public companies have to go on either CNBC or other channels and say, "Oh, by the way, my forecast that we gave for this quarter is not going to happen, and we're going to miss the forecast by X percent." Now, as a public company, you know what that means. That means your stock's going to get hammered, right? When you're saying, "We think we're going to do X millions of dollars of revenue," and you don't do X, you do Y, and Y is substantially less than X. And so that impacts investors because the stock prices are going to drop. In private companies, it impacts the companies because we make commitments to our bosses, who are the investors and the board of directors, as I said. And if you make a commitment, not just a promise, but you make a commitment to your bosses, and you come up short. And it's one thing to come up short by a percent or two. It's another thing to come up short by 10, 20, 30, 40%, which that happens all the time. So my frustrating thing is accuracy. And the other part of that is again, as a CEO, I always want my sales team to underpromise and overdeliver. All right. Rather than overpromising and underdelivering. That's where there's a problem. So again, I'm looking for underpromising and overdelivering. But we need to be accurate with our forecast because we make decisions, either sales executives, the executives in the company, we make decisions on a daily basis based on what the sales team tells us is going to happen. All right. Mm. So it's critical that this information is accurate and timely. And the frustrating part is when that's not done, lots of problems occur. So right. Long answer to your question, but accuracy, being able to, as I said, under-promise and over-deliver is important rather than the opposite.
Well, it's absolutely true. And I think words like accuracy and commitment are certainly ring true for a lot of sales organizations. And I think there's a tremendous amount of focus on trying to improve those things. I mean, really, the sales team is the tip of the spear. And like you said, it's the input for a lot of things that go on throughout the organization. So do you see new technologies coming that really can enhance accuracy and can drive more data and really help collect more information about what that customer is thinking, how they're going to choose to go and what's going on? It seems like that's absolutely critical for making better decisions.
Oh, it really is, Steve. And yes, technology is just going to help. Go back in time and you think of the CRMs that are out there today. Mm-hmm. And CRMs have been around for a long time now. But technology keeps getting better. And it's giving us the ability to be more accurate and more timely. I've been asked by folks that, you know, what's really changed in the sales forecasting, and I think there are a lot of tools that have come out. Specifically, Autopilot has some great tools, mm-hmm. as we know. People, and I'll kind of go back and look at something that's happened here over the last couple of years, which has impacted sales, and that is that the pandemic with COVID, which is several years old, even in my company, Precision Hawk, we could not get salespeople in front of our customers. And the reason is, A, people weren't traveling. B, the customers were saying, we can't talk to salespeople face-to-face because they're not allowed in the companies. So what happened is we now, rather than visiting face-to-face and developing a personal relationship on a face-to-face basis, COVID really started changing things in the pandemic, that you couldn't spend face-to-face times with your customers. You couldn't go out to lunch with your customers. You couldn't do dinners with your customers. You couldn't go to sports events with your customers because they weren't allowed to do it. Hmm. And so we started, the change that I saw here in the last several years is texting. Rather than face-to-face communication, it's turned into a texting world. And I'm not talking about an email world as much as I'm talking about texting world. Texting. Mm-hmm. And people are doing deals. People are doing business on texting. So mm-hmm. being able to collect that data and being able to keep that data, because that's a critical asset, that information. And being able to forecast from that data is very critical. So I think that the pandemic has caused us to really look for technology support and the ability to do our jobs as salespeople. And so, again, Autopilot has really enabled us as executives to use that data in ways that we never thought about using. And now we can use it for historical purposes. And unfortunately, as you know, salespeople don't always stay in the same company for 20 years like our fathers did. They move around. And so that information is critical, that we save the information, we use the information, we provide analytics and analysis on that information. Mm-hmm. And Autopilot, of course, is a company that's really supported this idea and this concept.
Well, it's interesting that you bring up text messaging. I think we all see that as sort of a black hole there, where you know, it's what the customers want. It's what people have become very familiar with and comfortable with in terms of interacting with other people. Yet 9 times out of 10, it's happening on my personal number and on a device that has no linkage to the organization whatsoever. And I think a lot of it disappears. Like I said, it becomes this black hole.
Yeah, especially on your personal phones. Delete, right? It's on your personal phone, you want to delete it. Exactly. And so that's a problem. And again, having a dedicated number that you can use for the businesses is critical. Just critical. Nice. So lots changed technology wise. And I've another thing that people are talking about, and this is something that a lot of us are thinking about, is what other technology tools are available. And you hear about this. You hear about artificial intelligence as an example. How can AI be used in the sales process? I think we're very early on artificial intelligence for the sales process, but believe me, it's going to come and come strong, and using that data from an AI standpoint. And by the way, I always have kind of fun about AI because that's two words, artificial and intelligence. I don't like the word artificial, but I love the word intelligence. But certainly from an AI standpoint, I believe that there are tools that are coming that can help us analyze this information that we're collecting and make us better salespeople, more accurate salespeople, and give us the ability to forecast much better. And so, again, AI is a concept. It is coming as a reality. It's coming into the sales world. You better get ready for it because it's on its way. And I don't think it's so much artificial as it is intelligence. And it'll be fun to see how this is used to make us more effective salespeople here in the future.
I think so too. I mean, we're on the cusp of, you know, data overload here, right? We have the ability now to capture just reams and reams of information, and certainly technologies like Autopilot make it very easy to record calls with your customers and transcribe all that into text and then to suck up all of the text messaging and all that sort of stuff. And you can, you know, nobody's going to go back and listen to all those calls. So we need some tools. We need something. You know, I appreciate your comment about artificial intelligence, but you need some engine that's able to process all that and synthesize that information down to the extent that you're able to really get to the heart of what the customers are saying and what they're asking for and what they're looking for. And like you said, help to really refine that accuracy so that we know with much higher percentage of success, what's going to happen, you know, in 60, 90, 120 days.
Yeah. The salespeople, you know, as we know, historically, those of us that have been in sales all our career, the last thing salespeople want to do is go home after a long day and Zoom calls and calls and texts and all kinds of traveling. There's people are starting to travel more now. And you go home to your hotel room and say, now I gotta document all this stuff. Oh my God. It's a thing they don't want to do. So tools like what Autopilot has gives them the ability to do it on a real-time basis and to do it accurately and more timely. And that's really what I think AI is in sales. It's really, you know, automating the repetitive tasks and analyzing that customer data. And so I think AI is going to help our sales teams be more effective, more efficient, and give us the ability to close more business. And so, you know, I'm very excited about the future in this area.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I like to say, can't do things like conversational AI without conversations. And so step one is to really start that capturing of the interactions between customers, whether it be through, you know, phone calls or Zoom calls or text messages, whatever it is, but try to get that raw data in and have that repository there and then really start that process of learning. And I think, you know, to the point that it helps you make accurate decisions about sales and selling, I think having the voice of the customer be essentially unfiltered now and available to anyone in the organization, whether it be from, you know, the warehouse and in an inventory side or manufacturing or, you know, the product guys who are always dying to hear what the customers are asking for and how they're talking about what new stuff is coming down the pipe, I think really has the ability to transform organizations and give everybody the ability to make better decisions.
That is a great point. The product people are begging for information, because the customers want, they have needs and wants for their, you know, for their businesses, and it's got to get communicated in your company to the product people. And again, that's, a lot of people call that product marketing, but who's out there talking to the customers all the time? It's your sales team. They've got to be able to bring that product the product requirements forward. That's, we haven't talked about that on the, on this call, but it's critically important, because your product people aren't going out there. They're in their offices or in their homes, and they're working on the product, but they need requirements in the worst way. And so tools that help bring these requirements forward to that product team is critical.
Absolutely. More than once I've sat across from a salesperson and said, well, did you ask them about that feature? And they're like, didn't come up, didn't, you know, whatever. But, you know, there's really the opportunity, like I said, to get sort of raw and unfiltered data out through the entire organization. So, you know, this has been great. Last question, just any advice you'd like to share from the CEO's desk to sales leaders?
Oh, yeah. I get a lot of advice, but I will tell you what I want. I want the salespeople to over-communicate to the company. The salespeople, they're gathering that information. They're out there talking to the customers. That information has to get to the business, to our business. And so they've got to over-communicate that, that information, from being accurate on their forecasting to what we just talked about, product requirements. And that's critically important. And then the other one that I've thought about is avoid helping the company avoid surprises. Right. The last thing you want to do is go to your board, go to your investors. If you're a public company, going out to the public and saying, you know, we're saying that we're going to do X of business. And as I said, if you blow that and you don't do X and you do Y, which is a lot less than X, we're all in trouble. Okay. Right. Stock's in trouble. Investors are unhappy. Boards are unhappy. So avoid surprises. Be accurate. And as I said, the last thing I'll leave you with is, you know, under promise and over deliver. You really, don't do the opposite. Don't over promise and under deliver. Right. So accuracy of the data and over communicate. And so we're looking for tools always on how to do that. And as I said, Autopilot's a company that's working on those tools, and I'm excited about the future of where that's all going.
Well, that's great. Great advice. And I think Autopilot can make all that come true for sales organizations. And that's certainly our goal as well. So,
super.
You know, Jim, thank you very much. This was a great discussion. I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me.
Thank you.
And until next time, this is Steve Shaw signing off and encouraging you to put your sales busy work on autopilot. Thanks.